Isn't it wonderful to be back in here?
Yeah.
Amen. Didn't Brother Will preach the Word of God to us? My God, that's powerful and wonderful.
Yes.
Amen. So thankful for that. Looking forward to just a great continuance of the day. And I heard here the other day about Ireland, and they say when they first came, people come to Ireland, that it was covered in trees. Maybe some of you Irish folk would know that better than I do. They said it's covered in trees, but you look out there today and you see fields of green. Somebody had to cut down the trees.
Yeah.
I can assure you in this walk with God, before you sometimes see the green pastures, you've got to cut down the trees. I believe we're doing that here today.
Yeah.
Amen. We're going to turn. Amen. I've got this new digital iPad. I'm used to bringing over a bunch of pages and notes, and my bag got so heavy, I thought I'd all just put it on this tablet. So I'm going to preach here this morning out of Mark chapter 1, verse 12. Amen. So good once again to be back in here. Mark chapter 1, verse 12. Amen. The Bible says, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness," speaking of the Lord. "He was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him." Now go with me to Jude chapter 1. Actually, let's start off first at 1 Corinthians 15:32. So 1 Corinthians 15:32. The Bible says, "If after the manner of men I have fought with the beast of Ephesus, what advantageth it me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Now if you go to Jude chapter 1 verse 10, Jude chapter 1 and verse 10, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." Now go with me to Revelation 13 verse 1. The Bible says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" I want to draw your attention back to Mark chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13. "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. "And the angels ministered unto him." I want to preach here this morning on this thought: receiving ministry in the midst of wild beasts. Receiving ministry in the midst of wild beasts. We understand here this morning that every word, verse, and precept in the Word of God is intentional, deliberate, and strategic. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture," somebody shout all, "is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We understand in John 21:25, and there are also many other things in which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. What the Apostle John is saying is that the Gospels are the most edited, the most boiled down, and the most strategic book ever written. Amen. Matthew Henry once said, the Gospels were not stopped because they had exhausted their subject and had nothing more to write than was worth writing. No, there were many of Christ's sayings and doings not recorded by any of the evangelists, which yet were worthy to be written in letters of gold. For everything that Christ said and did was worth our notice, amen, and capable of being improved. He never spoke an idle word, nor did an idle thing, nay. He never spake nor did anything mean or little or trifling, which is more than can be said of the wisest and best of men, amen. In other words, when we look at the Word of God, we must come to the foundation of all things, that the Word of God has been strategically ordered by God Almighty in relation to eternal salvation. Amen. Every word of this book is that which you and I can hang our life on. Amen. If you say tonight, this morning rather, if you say, well, I'm not much interested in that chapter, I'm not much interested in the book of Leviticus, I encourage you here today, this Word of God is the person of the Lord Jesus, and every verse should be celebrated and rejoiced over as God conveying to you and I the eternal plan of salvation. You and I can base our lives on every word, every jot, every tittle, knowing that God's Word will never, ever fail us. Can you say amen? In other words, Jesus is an unending subject. He can be talked about. He can be preached about. He can be testified about for 1 billion years. And that still, somebody shout still, would not be enough time to tell all about His person. Amen. Maybe that is why the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 11:32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell. Oh my. John Gill said the writer of Hebrews was intimating that he had said enough to prove the definition of faith he had given, and that the elders by it had attained a good report, and yet he had not said all that he could, and that he had so much to say that he could not say it all. Hallelujah. There's an old song we used to sing that said, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. This hour we have today, this hour we have this morning, I could stand here to the wee hours of the night and talk about this glorious Christ, for He is a subject and no man will ever fully know. He's a subject you can preach for 1 million years and still come to know of His glorious power and His wonderful person. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. In other words, an hour on a Sunday morning, an hour on a Sunday night, or an hour in a convention, it's not sufficient time to tell everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. So much more could be said about Him. Now, knowing this reality, when Mark pens the words with an eternal ink, Jesus was with the wild beasts and the angels ministered to Him, I take notice, I take into consideration, and I ask the Lord, what can this mean? Hallelujah. As we look at this statement, there are three things that I would like to convey. The first is this. The same Spirit that drives the believer into green pastures also drives into barren wildernesses. Yeah. Secondly, oftentimes the believer finds themselves in the midst of wild beasts. Yeah. And lastly, even in the midst of such conditions, the believer can receive the ministry of God. Yes. Scripture says, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Now, when you and I think about the movings of the Spirit of God in our lives, it is quite easy for us to think that those movings are all preparatory to use us to witness to someone, or to use us to do an exploit for God, or to use us to preach a gospel message. Yeah. The moving of the Spirit can most assuredly prepare us for such endeavors. However, there are times that the Spirit of God in our lives is to drive us into the wilderness. Amen. You see, after Christ was gloriously baptized by John, after the dove descended from heaven, and after the voice spoke to everybody there, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," the Bible goes on to say, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. This word "immediately" means forthwith or straightway. The word "driveth" means to eject, to send away, or to bring forth. We know that Luke uses the word "led" to convey this experience, but Mark uses the word "driveth." The word "driveth" is most assuredly a more forcible word than "led," but Mark is trying to convey the powerful workings of the Spirit of God. I've come to learn in my walk with God, He leads us to green pastures. He does a lot of things in that relation, but I can assure you, as you're led of the Spirit of God, and as the Spirit of God drives us, we will find ourselves in wildernesses. Amen. We will find ourselves in barren environments. That's what that word "wilderness" means. It means a solitary place, a lonely place, a deserted place, and an uncultivated place. In other words, in the movings of God, they're not always to put you in places of just, you know, great excitement or whatever else. Sometimes God, in the workings of the Spirit, will put you and I in places at this modern thought of God and the workings of His Spirit would say the Lord would never do that. I've come to learn a lot of people walk away from God because they find themselves in environments where the modern church says God will never lead you. But here we find Christ. He was led to that place. Amen. And I want you to rejoice today. You say, "Brother Robin, that's where I am. And the devil's got me doubting if it's the Spirit of God or something else." Let me tell you, it's the same Spirit of God. If your heart is still pure, you're still seeking after the Lord, it's God right where you are. There you can throw your hands up and say, "I know that my God is the God of the mountain, but He's also the God of the valley. Wherever I find myself, God can be the God of my life." Shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We can say that on a Sunday morning, the anointing was falling, the river was flowing, the dove was flying. The voice of the Father was validating and reverberating through that place in Israel. And all the saints were celebrating this wonderful experience of our Lord. However, by Sunday night, there was no dove flying. There was no river flowing. And there was no voice thundering. Amen. I'm thankful today for times in the convention like this. I'm thankful, come on somebody, for doves flying. I'm thankful for the voice of God just reverberating in this room. But I also understand when I leave here and I go to a wilderness, He's the same God. Hallelujah. I said He's the same God. Oftentimes we leave places like this this, Jordan rivers, if you will. And we get out there and the devil begins to taunt us and begins to try to discourage us that all that we experienced was a figment of our imagination. But I want you to know it's as real then as it is today. When you're preaching on the streets of Germany, He's the same God. When you're being mocked, He's the same God to your soul. Hallelujah. You see, Christ went from a river to a wilderness in just a short period of time. We must come to understand that the same Spirit at the river is the same Spirit in the wilderness. Amen. Nothing has changed. Did you hear me? Nothing. Somebody shout nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing has changed. For a believer to think that their environment can't change in a short time has either one, not served God for very long, or two, not allowed the Spirit to lead them in all ways. Now we find that the Spirit not only led Jesus into the wilderness, that'd be enough. Come on, somebody. I said, that'd be enough. If that's all that it says. If it simply said Jesus was led into the wilderness. However, it goes on to say that He was led into an environment of not only the devil, but of wild beasts. Scripture says Jesus was with the wild beasts. This term wild beast literally means dangerous animals. Yeah. So not only was Jesus in a barren place, a dry place, and a deserted place, He was also in a place of wild beasts. Amen. You see, I am confident that many of us can testify of the same in our life. I want you to hear me today. We can testify that most of Christianity is like walking through a zoo.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I said it's like walking through a zoo. We may not have a lion behind the tree, a scorpion under a log, a bear in a nearby cave, or a snake dangling from a branch. But we do find ourselves in environments of wild beasts. We have Jan the gossiper, Peter the backstabber, Lucy the discourager, Bob the false doctrine propagator, and Jean the beer drinking person that tries to say she's on her way to heaven. Amen. You see, not only did Jesus have to contend with the devil in the wilderness, He had to also contend with a lot of wild beasts. Amen. I wish I could tell you the only thing you got to worry about is the devil out there. But I can tell you, I found sometimes he's the least of my concern. Hallelujah. I can identify Him a lot better than some wild beast. Amen. We look at the Word of God, and in the New Testament we find that there's dragons, there's vipers, there's wolves, there's foxes, and there's asps. Amen. Jude said in Jude 1:10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Here Jude is speaking of brute beasts who go to church, spew out their natural minded views of the gospel, and who feign to have a relationship with the Lord, but at the end of the day, they are just brute beasts. Amen. You say, Pastor Robin, what exactly does that mean? They are those that speak concerning the gospel out of a natural means. Amen. We heard about unity today, and that unity out of these brute beasts are simply a natural formulated unity. Amen. That's based upon the mind of man. Hallelujah. This word brute means irrational, unreasonable, and absolutely absurd. Amen. I listen to a lot of people and I say to myself, that's absolutely absurd. Who in their right spiritual mind would ever believe believe what you are vomiting across that pulpit. Albert Barnes said, these false and corrupt teachers employ reproachable language of those which lie wholly beyond the reach of their vision, as mere men, as animals that is, in things pertaining to their physical nature, or in which they are on a level with the brute creation. The reference is to the natural instincts, the impulses of appetite and passion and sensual pleasure. The ideal of the apostle seems to be that their knowledge was confined to those things. They did not rise above them to the intelligent contemplation of those higher things, against which they use only the language of reproach. There are multitudes of such men in the world. Towards high and holy objects, they use only the language of reproach. They do not understand them, but they can rail at them. Their knowledge is confined to the subjects of sensual indulgences, and all their intelligence in that respect is employed only to corrupt and destroy themselves. You say, Brother Robin, what are you saying? I'm trying to convey to you there's a lot of brute beasts out there. Hallelujah. You're going to face them in pulpits. You're going to face them in your church. You're going to face them in the streets. Amen. But when you face the brute beast, just know that your Lord has gone before you, and right in the middle of it, the Holy Ghost led him.
Amen.
Amen. You see, I've come to learn that some of the most dangerous beasts there are not to be found in the Amazons of the world, but right in the middle of religious circles. We find that Paul understood this when he said in 1 Corinthians 15:32, if after the manner of men, I have fought. Yeah. Isn't that what it says? I have fought with the beasts at Ephesus. What advantage if me, if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now Paul said that he fought with the beasts at Ephesus. He didn't fight with just one of them, but several of them. The pulpit commentary states, there is no good reason for supposing that Paul meant literally beasts. By wild beasts, he means men gross and savage in wickedness. Paul was not alone in classifying such men with irrational brutes. John the Baptist called some of his hearers vipers, and the great preacher compared some such men to swine. The Bible speaks of wicked men in two stages lower than humanity. In other words, the believer will find themselves in an environment where wild beasts are everywhere. Amen. You may be here today and you may say, Brother Robin, I have found myself in the midst of wild beasts. I look about me and lions roar and wolves, you know, growl or whatever else. But you need to take courage in the fact that right in the midst of it all, that God is for you. I want you to know in all of this that the Bible says, as the devil departed. There's seasons where the devil comes in great wrath, but it never says that the lion went elsewhere. It never says that the snake slithered off. It never says any of that, and that conveys to me today that the beast will always be there. They'll always be there. They'll try to bat at your heels and turn you away from the purposes of God. But here today, you can walk with God. You can be for God. And you can see God do everything that He desires.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In other words, the believer will find themselves in environments where wild beasts are everywhere. They will be on social media. Come on, somebody. They'll be on the radio. Even on Christian television. Ecclesiastes 3:18 says, I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying even in the life of God in your own heart, it is surrounded by the wild beast of your old nature. Did you hear me? Psalm 73:22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. All of it, we must see, is a part of the coming beast of the tribulation. Revelation 13:4 says, they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like under the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Amen. In other words, there's not only the beast of the old nature, the beast of that which is fallen. There's all that is antichrist, that as much of a beast as any of it. Amen. That's always there to antagonize the life of the Lord Jesus in your heart and in your life. Amen. You see, it's in these environments where a lot of people give up. Yes, indeed. I found it to be so. It's in this environment. It's one thing if they've got the devil and they deal with the devil. I know what he is and I know how he comes. But that wild beast can come, you know, in different ways, in different fashions. The Bible says the snake was the most subtle beast of the field. I can assure you all of that slithering, all of those things, the devil would lead us to believe that in the midst of all of that, that God wouldn't lead us there. But here we have clearly established it was the Holy Ghost that led the Son of God into the midst of a place with the devil and wild beasts everywhere. Said they were everywhere. You see, we find that this beast was given power. Amen. Was given power. Was worshipped. Was viewed as indestructible. And was viewed as inferior to no one. We also find that many will take the mark of the beast. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. I say all this to tell us this morning that even in the midst of the wild beast, we can find the ministry of God Almighty. Yeah. Did you hear me? Yeah. The devil may have lied to you, telling you that you can't receive ministry when not only is the devil tempting you, but wild beasts are all about you. However, Satan is most assuredly a liar.
Yes, he is.
Jesus received ministry right smack dab in the middle of the devil tempting and the wild beast roaming. We must forever come to conclude that God can minister to us right where we are, even with beasts all about us. Amen. There's a lot of people that have turned back and went the other way because they saw on the mission field, my God, I can deal with the devil, but these wild beasts everywhere, who can receive ministry? But you need to know that God did not drive away all the beasts and say, now Jesus can receive ministry. But right there, with all of it transpiring, God Almighty received the ministry of the Lord. Amen. Jesus right there in the wilderness was strengthened in His life. And you and I can be strengthened today in the life of God. Don't wait till the beast leave. Wait and receive from God. Amen. The Bible didn't say Jesus tried to kill all the wild beasts. Come on, somebody. There's been many times in my life, you know, in Arkansas, you can hunt and you need to keep guns. That might be astonishing to you in Europe. I've got a lot of them. Amen. Shoot deer with, obviously. Animals. There's a lot of that. I wish sometimes the Lord would let me just, you know, make my environment beastless. Maybe I'm the only one. But there's many times in my life I said, Lord, let me just take care of that beast and that beast and that beast. Let me just do it, Lord. Come on now. But I have found you'll spend all your time trying to kill beasts.
Yeah. Right.
Instead of receiving from the Lord. Jesus didn't say, let me just go and take out all these wild beasts so I don't have to worry about them anymore. But right smack dab in all of it, He received from God. And you'll never make it in your walk with God unless you come to realize what I'm preaching to you today. I'm trying to convey by the Word of God that if you're waiting for the devil and the beast to leave you, you'll never receive, sister. You'll never receive from God. You'll be waiting the rest of your life trying to kick every beast out of your environment. But I refuse to do that today. I refuse to try to tackle every beast. But right smack dab, I'm going to have revival. I'm going to see God. I'm going to see the moving and stirring of God's eternal Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must forever come to conclude that God can minister to us right in the middle of all of it. The ministering angels, whether they be angelic spirits, a preacher of the gospel, or a saint of God, are not afraid to do ministry where the devil and wild beasts are in abundance. Now you hear me on this here. The Bible says the angels came and ministered to our Lord. That word angel actually means a messenger or even a pastor.
Yeah.
Oh my, that's shouting ground. I said a messenger or even a, how many of you are messengers?
Yeah.
We got a few of you. We were trying to up that ratio. I said, you are a messenger of God. Whether you and I realize it or not, or you're born again, wave at me.
Yeah.
Then you are a messenger of God. You may say, I'm not a pastor, but you are a messenger. And the word minister literally means an attendant to wait upon, to serve, or a deacon, amen. If you study that out, it's the exact same word that is used for deacon or is applied to the word deacon in the book of Acts. So in other words, the true minister of the gospel and the person of God is two things. One, they're not afraid to receive ministry in the midst of wild beasts. But secondly, they're not afraid to do ministry in the midst of wild beasts. Amen. They don't say, well, if God would only teach me how to tame something out there. They go right in the middle of the environments of hell itself. They'll go right into my sister, I remember. She went into that Catholic church. There's a lot of wild beasts there, I can tell you. But if you're afraid of wild beasts, you'll never do nothing for God. I said you'll never do nothing for God. But if you say tonight, I'm going to serve people right in the midst of the mockery, right in the midst of the scorn, right in the midst of the gnashings of teeth, I'm going to stand for God. I'm not going to be afraid to do the ministry of the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
My God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I've met a lot of people. They say, well, if God would just take care of the wild beasts, I'd go in. You know, we started a ministry at our church several months ago called Melita Ministries. And we go into the worst of the worst places. We go into jails. There's a road that's right there in Pottsville. You could really call it Drug House Road. And you say, Pastor Robin, do you go there? You betcha we go there. I said, you betcha. Matter of fact, we had a gentleman, my youth pastor, Brother John, great man of God, witnesses, God placed him down this road. He lives at the end of it. So every day he's got to drive through all of these druggies. Amen. I'm glad God put him there. Come on, somebody. But every time he goes, him and his family, they pray over all of these people there. Amen. On the other day he drove by and he witnessed to a man, this big old black guy, muscle, just big guy, that was out there. His name's actually Hellacious. I kid you not. Hellacious. Hellacious come last Sunday night. Not this past one, Sunday night before that. He rode with Brother John. Sat on that first row, sort of where Sister Melissa's sitting this morning. And the Spirit of God began to move upon his life. And after the service, Brother John said, you know, just let me know when the next time you want to go to church. And Hellacious said to him, I'm going the next time you're going. You just let me know. What are you saying, Pastor Robin? I'm saying right in the midst of wild beasts with druggies everywhere, with false religion everywhere, with everything going on, you can still receive from the Lord, but you can still be a ministry of God in the place of your wild beast. Amen. Some people say, well, that's too dangerous. I can tell you, if you're looking for places of safety, you're in the wrong business. Come on, somebody. I said, you're a part of the wrong kingdom. God sends me places all the time. Here several months ago, I believe it was probably last November. So, you know, almost a year ago, I was invited to the jailhouse, the local jail. And I went in there. A man that had been in the church, you know, a few weeks before, had sat on the very back row. And God moved on him wonderfully. Spirit of God was just dealing with his heart. We never come to the altar. But about a month later, I got an email from a lady that got an email from him out of the jail. And he said, I want to meet with your preacher. Have him come if he would. I really didn't have a memory of what he looked like. I thank God. Sometimes wild beasts are big. Come on, somebody. I'm glad I didn't remember. So I went in there just being led of the Lord. And I sat down and I thought maybe, you know, some smaller guy, maybe about my height. Surely not as muscular, but you know. He would come in. Well, they took me into this little room there and sat me down. And I said, well, praise God, you know, nobody's there with me. Well, they brought that man in there. He was shackled up, big towering guy, big bald head shaved guy. And then they took his cuffs off. I said, oh my, it's about to get real. Come on, somebody. Well, then he began to tell me I'm demon possessed. I need deliverance. I said, oh my, oh my. Either God, you're going to have to be with me. So I began to preach the gospel to him. And the Spirit of the Lord just come into that place. I mean, right there in the midst of wild beasts. Oh my God. The Spirit of God came into that room. He began to weep. He began to cry out to God. And the Spirit of the Lord wonderfully saved him. I left. I meet with a lot of people. I left, you know, just believing that God would do the work. If I was faithful, Pastor Will, to preach the Word of God, salvation's of the Lord. I never tell anybody they're saved. I'll see the fruits of it in time. So I just left it be. Said, my God, if God saved you, you'll know tomorrow. Amen. If you don't feel any difference, you didn't get it, but you can. Come on, somebody. I said, you can get the reality. Well, it wasn't just days later. I began to get email after email after email. This guy, he was unbeknownst to me. I had no clue. He was over or highly up in the Aryan nation in my area. I mean, this guy was one of the top druggies. Matter of fact, I had a police officer come to me in my office and said, Pastor Robin, you have no idea, do you? No. I said, oh no, I didn't study that wild beast. Come on now. I have no idea what his, you know, name is. Nothing necessarily about him. He said, Pastor, every time we would get a call to go and arrest that man, nobody went alone. This was a wild beast. Oh, you listen to me. I said, it was a wild beast. We all had to call for backup to come be a part. Well, this guy got saved and he kept just sending me lists of people and he would tell them about God and he thought he needed me to preach the Word of God to him. I'd go every time. I mean, it's like knocking fruit off a tree. Hallelujah to God. I'd go into that jail and they'd already be weeping. I'd just say, it's time to get right with God. And those men, these grown men with tattoos everywhere, we began to weep. We've received many people out of the jail that have been wondrously saved by God. But what are you saying, Pastor Robin? If you're going to be afraid as a church or as a believer to go into the midst of environments with wild beasts, you'll never see nothing for God. I said you'll see never see nothing for God. But if you'll say, Lord, let me be that angel that finds that Jesus, finds the believer, finds that church right next to hell, let me be the one and I'll go serve them in the midst of the beast. Hallelujah. 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 You see, it's the exact same word. Show me a deacon. Show me a preacher. Show me a believer that's afraid of the devil and the wild beasts of religion. And I will show you a pastor and a church that isn't as strong as they need to be. Did you hear me? How many of you would agree with me that Jesus needed ministry? Even the very Son of God, the angels ministered to Him. I can tell you, in that environment, if Jesus needed ministry, you need ministry.
Yes, that's right.
Did you hear me? I need ministry. They need ministry. Come on. I can assure you, don't let the wild beasts cause you to not to be a minister for God. Don't cower down. I'm just too afraid. Brute beasts everywhere. Come on, somebody. The great beast over here. Beast everywhere. Beast, beast, beast. Come on, somebody. I refuse to allow the beast of this life, the beast of my old nature, to dictate what I do for God. Oh, listen. Hallelujah. Romans 15:25 says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. We may find ourselves in the wilderness today being tempted of the devil and surrounded by wild beasts, but don't freeze up. Don't freeze up and say, one, God, you can't minister to me here till I get out of this. Come on, somebody. Folks, I've met a lot of people. That's how they feel about things. Until I get out of this environment with beasts everywhere, I've heard people, you know, until I move out of this situation, get out of this. Listen, right in the midst of wild beasts breathing down your neck, barking at you every day of your life.
Jesus.
Come on, somebody. You can receive ministry and you can be a ministry unto somebody else. You see, but that does not mean that we can't receive much needed ministry in these places. Yeah. Amen. See, right here in this environment, I don't look at any of you as beasts. Well, I thought I'd get an amen out of all that. I don't look at you as beasts. But when I get out of this place, out of this convention, there's going to be beasts out there. They're going to be waiting on me. They're going to be in those environments that God leads us into. But even in those environments, don't highlight the beasts. Come on, somebody. I said, come on, somebody. Jesus never highlighted the beast he simply received from God in the midst of it. I hear a lot of beasts talk. Amen. I know there's brute beasts. I know these types of things. But when you and I began to really highlight that, Mark did, but he did it in passing, right in the midst of wild beasts. I can tell you, you can't tame beasts. Did you hear me? You can't tame them. I said, you can't tame that old nature. Come on, somebody. But right in the midst of it, Sister Candace, as you come, right in the midst of wild beasts, you can receive the ministry of God. Folks, you don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to say it's over. Maybe you're there, you're watching this video. You're in the place of wild beasts all about you. It's hard to even find a saint of God. But you need to know God can still minister to you there.
Yes.
God can minister to you here. And when you go back to Germany and you go back to wherever you go back to, my friend in Sweden, he's told me, a lot of things that's go beasts are everywhere. Come on now. They even got reindeer. Come on, somebody. What are you saying? I'm saying wherever you are.
Jesus.
You can receive of the Lord.
Jesus.
You throw those hands up. Pastor, they're growling all about me.
Jesus.
Things are dark. And I'm seeing eyes peering through the darkness at me. But you've got to ask yourself, is the Holy Ghost the one that led you there?
Yeah.
If the Holy Ghost led you there, wild beasts can't touch you.
Jesus.
I said, wild beasts. Now, if you're out there on your own thing, you better run fast as you can. Come on, somebody. If you're there in the mind of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, if you're there because God led you to be there, right in the middle of it all, you can receive ministry. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I tell you, as the people of God, never be afraid to reach somebody in the midst of wild beasts. Because the devil will try to turn you away from that environment. So if you get involved in that, if you go into that, you're going to be devoured. Come on, somebody. Just stay away. Friend, I can tell you, some people never get out of it unless you go to them in it. Jesus, we know, come out of the wilderness with great power. Isn't that right? Come on, somebody. If you and I will minister to people in the jail, people that's in the midst of wild beasts all about. Who knows what they'll come out of that after they've received of your ministry. What they'll do for God. I love what Pastor Keith said already today in this room. Right here in the midst of this. Who knows what you and I will leave this environment and we'll go and do for God. Because we receive from the Lord. Don't push off ministry for another day because you think it's too difficult to get to you where you are. Because you can receive from God right where you are. Can you say amen? Would you stand with us around the buildings?